Is there any way to have comparable data from like last year to show improvement?
We can certainly take a look at that.
Yes, Carl, first.
And just to kind of add to that, I know that's something that we've already tasked some people to start working on that interface. Mm-hmm. And again, it's kind of that fine line where we don't want to provide, we can put lots of data into the electronic medical record. Mm-hmm. The problem is that that's extra time that a paramedic or a PT have to spend in writing those reports.
Sure.
And so it's that benefit, that cost-benefit kind of thing is how onerous do we make the report to get the data that we need? And so that's something we're going to look at. We're also going to try to interface with the support people from ESL, which is our suite that we use to do that medical reporting and see if we can generate some pre-existing queries that we can then just hit a button and get a printout.
Okay.
And the other thing that I've been trying to do as well is start to take some anecdotal things in terms of what we're seeing here around the building and the interactions with the other EMTs and morale and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can start looking at that, and if we can build the metrics so that we get a good download from dispatch, like Chief Martin was talking about, and then build those queries, those reports that we're looking for, hopefully with some help from ESL, we can make that easy. And
mm-hmm.
and that's probably something that's going to take a month or two before I think that we're really solid with that. And then we'll, hopefully we can just one touch
sure.
kind of metrics that we can get to.
But it's obviously got to be better if you've got people at the station that,
right.
rather than coming to the ambulance.
Right.
So that's something that we should be able to say is already happening.
And again, like Chief Martin said, we're tracking several different things. Time of dispatch mm-hmm. against the time that the fly car or the sprint rig, there's lots of different
sure.
times when a medic leaves versus when the ambulance rolls. And I think what we've got to try to be able to break down is time of dispatch to when the ambulance rolls out the door.
Yes, that would be great.
I want to change the subject with regard to the helipad. Air Lift Northwest is willing to pay for a helipad adjacent to the hospital. Mm-hmm. What's next in terms of investigating this prospect?
We've gotten information from Air Lift. They've given us the possible site locations. They've given us locations of where other helipads are located towards the hospital, and so we just need to look at feasibility, interest, and talking to to see if this is something that is workable, the advantages of it, and obviously the disadvantages of this too.
But we're not being asked to sign any contracts.
No. This is a project that we've been talking about for the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and I believe that this is a project that would enhance and improve medical care if we had this.
No, I'm not doubting that. It would be on hospital property?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Should we talk about having perhaps another citizen advisory group to study this subject?
As a possibility. I think the first order of business is to have a discrete itemization of the enhancements to patient care. They're out there, as far as minimizing number of transfers and this and that. But we need a written document, and we have yet to see that. We've seen the engineering side of it and the logistical side of it in terms of practicality. Well, that's certainly, it's doable as far as FAA rules and regs, et cetera, et cetera. But the impact, the positive impact on the patient, we can see that discreetly. So that's going to be a work product of not only Chris Martin and Airlift, but also of this board in terms of comparing notes and making sure we're inclusive in that package.
And I think, too, that this might be a presentation that Airlift would probably want to come out and discuss with the board to show you guys what their plan would be. And maybe Commissioner Schwing, with you being having flight and pilot experience, you know, you might be a good one to be part of this discussion as we look into this.
I'm certainly willing, but I think as we're considering sources of information, Airlift Northwest may not be as objective as we would desire. I think if we had a broader group that would be inclusive of other perspectives, that that might serve the community better. I would like to see Airlift's presentation, and if others are willing to have that scheduled, I'd like to see that happen. Yeah. But at the same time, I think we need to independently evaluate claims for enhanced patient care, transfer times, cost to patient, all those things that I think may be real, but I think we have to do our homework. And I think the best way to do that, to maintain objectivity, is to tap community perspectives.
We could do that, and I could see we might be able to do that in the future, but we have to have some information to work off of first, and so it would have to be, you know, we have to get that information to see if it makes sense. Also, it's on hospital property, so wouldn't it be the hospital that, I mean, it's the hospital that is going to make this final determination of their property. So, I mean, we have input as far as making a recommendation, and it's patient care, but it's hospital property. So I guess I don't quite understand. That would be up to, I mean, they'd have to be involved in this from the very
beginning. Absolutely.
So it needs to be
And they have,
them.
Historically,
yes.
It certainly
they have.
Been
2 years ago, I think they were, weren't they?
Correct. Yeah. But Salmon Island EMS is an intrinsic part of this.
Yes.
We're involved with patient transfers and transport. Not only patients per se, but also flight personnel. It goes on and on and on. So we're the prime time players, but still, I think we need to do our homework first before we, well, first of all, we have to share Salem information to a CAG equivalent, and we don't have that, at least not on paper that I've seen.
No, of course not. This is not a call for results before they
Well, that's it, right. But conceptually, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and information would also come from like patient care and patient information, all those might not just come, it would come from EMS too. I mean, that's going to have to come from us to say, you know, what are our thoughts about all of that?
Certainly.
Time saved or whatever
Certainly.
It is.
Well, should we start by extending an invitation here at Northwest to make a presentation?
I think Jerry is already, we've already talked to Chris.
I've talked to Chris, yeah. She was out last week, we talked, and I'll be talking to her if not this week, I'll be talking to her next week.
Does the board need a motion to support that?
I don't think so.
I don't think we need it. Perhaps an unofficial consensus. What does the board feel of this as an idea in the name of patient enhancement?
Yeah. Presentation would be great.
If patient care is
Dr. Martin,
that.
Yeah. Is your idea in a way? Warren?
I think we should let your team, Airlift, developed the idea along with the hospital a bit more. I don't think having them rush out here in the next 2 months to give us a presentation is going to change anything. This is a long-term thing. I mean, you know, we're going to have to look for bones over there. We're going to, you know, county, and we have lots of permitting out in front of us. This is not something that's going to happen in the next 6 months. So I don't think we have to rush. I think just our consensus without a motion, you know, Carl, some time to get on board and get up to speed so before we start putting motions on people's backs that they have to come back. So I'm more for letting the process just sort of, you know, the egg harden a bit on its own at the moment.
Well, as I said, you know, we're still compiling information, so that would have to come by
but
definition.
But I think when he's passing information to him, he's compiling it. And as they're exchanging this information of where we are, he's compiling our information, and he'll be gathering the other stuff because it's going to be, the report's going to be done from Carl in 6 weeks. And so I don't think we need a motion. I think we just need to understand.
I didn't call for a motion. I just asked for a consensus.
No, he asked it. Yeah. He was discussing motion.
The way to get at this, if a motion would be the best way to get at
it. Yeah. It sounds like it's being handled to me.
What'd you say?
It sounds like it's being handled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like it's being handled to me, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to be interfering in the process already ongoing, I think. If there's motivation to pursue this at this point in time, that should suffice.
Chief Martin, are there any updates on the Department of Health investigations? any conversation with them about anything you can do to help the process, or?
Our response is being processed right now.
Okay. And I know last summer in your committee meetings with Holstein from the DOH, I listened to the tape, and she asked you 4 times for your certification for that the rest of the crew had provided. Have you been able to provide that to them?
No, and what I did was I requested it by, that I wanted a written request, not by verbal, and I have not received that, and because of in speaking over with Richard Davis, our attorney, and because I'm no longer in the OTEP, I'm in the the other CME type recertification.
Mm-hmm. It's a regulatory agency though, and they're asking you multiple times verbally for something. So, but you still feel it's more important to have it. You'll respond when.
I'm not responding now.
It just seems to me that this is a very, like, there's a lot of hassle that could have been avoided. It worries me that the taxpayers are footing the bill for this problem in terms of your legal fees with this investigation, and it's as Holstein said to me yesterday, a black mark for EMS. It's unfortunate. And,
I would suggest that a complaint to the DOH, which is not substantiated until they go through the process, could be anything. We don't know. Chief Martin doesn't know. The DOH doesn't know until they do their investigation. It could be somebody who's just has it against Chief Martin to turn in a complaint. You don't know until they go through it. They turned down, I believe it's like 66% of their complaints are dismissed because of lack of evidence or lack of whatever else they have. So I think to say
I'm just talking about this one thing, and it just seems to me that it could be a non-issue if requests were honored. And I don't need to go into it. I just wanted to ask for an update. Okay.
I do need to make a comment. These investigations are at level 2 or 3. The way the investigations work with DOH is there is a complaint is sent in. One person reads it, figures out if it's even close to applicable, and will deny a lot of them. Then if they accept that, it goes to a team that looks at it, and they have to figure out the causes. And if they accept that, then it goes to an investigator. We know it's an investigator. So it's most of that 66% is already gone.
We don't know anything for sure.
Well,
we don't know anything for sure. We haven't heard back from them.
Okay, excuse me.
It hasn't been written.
It's into the investigative stage. So most your 66%, most of that is already out. I've been through these with employees of mine. I have been through this with my paramedics when I used to be the supervising physician. And they even have a checklist.
Well, I think this is a moot point right now. I think we should end
well,
the discussion about it.
Well, I don't think it's a moot point. But anyway, I'm just letting you know where I'm at.
I have another question for you, Gary. How many times has Dr. Hazel been out for? Is she coming out regularly for run reviews and ALS, BLS training?
No, she hasn't. She was able to be here last night. She was here one time before. Her contract allows her to be able to do this by computer, by Skype. We haven't done that yet. And then there was another instance, maybe two, I have to look back, where she was, Dr. Sullivan did not schedule her for her shift at the ER that month. So she comes out here, does her shift, and then does her class for us, and then goes back to Port Angeles. And that was... That had not happened for 1, possibly 2 months.
It didn't happen in February.
We are in February.
Until yesterday. She didn't work a shift. She showed up for a meeting and then came over here.
Correct.
It was one other month before that.
Well, she's been with us now for a couple months.
Since October.
And yeah, so there's more than three there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Second report, Jerry. Very good. Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay, the next item on the agenda is audience participation. Chuck?
Yeah. I'm speaking not just for myself, but as impossible as that may be, also for DT. It's difficult to represent a force of nature. But she has had some health challenges lately. This is what a notice of denial of payment for medical, for air transportation looks like. What it does not represent is the additional stress that when you receive a bill for nearly $22,000, and we both have Highland Air and Airlift Northwest insurance, and are covered through Medicare and Kaiser. I'm going to read a letter that I sent to Congressman Larson and also to Senators Murray and Cantwell to kind of summarize it for you. The one to Larson includes a little bit of verbiage about his attention to the VA Choice Program, otherwise they were identical. On 225-19, Congressman Larson, I would like to bring to your attention a problem which you may already be aware of, but that is now affecting my wife and I directly. Kaiser Permanente in recent months has been denying a large number of Airlift Northwest and Island Air transports after the fact to patients who have been transported from the San Juan Islands for emergency treatment at mainland locations, as many as 50 according to what I have heard. On December 17, my wife was diagnosed with a previously unreported pulmonary embolism, and after treatment in the Peace Health Emergency Room in Friday Harbor, was transported to St. Joseph's in Bellingham, where she was held for additional treatment and evaluation and released on December 18. I followed by ferry and car, which put me at the hospital about 4 hours after her transport. It was the opinion of the ER doctor that this was appropriate and necessary, but Kaiser has now denied payment for what amounts to a nearly $22,000 bill. My wife is, I'm going to redact this, so many years old.
Smart man.
by necessity.
52.
Yes, and is a Medicare and Kaiser supplemental policy holder. Island Air is disputing this and about 20 other denials from this time frame. Airlift Northwest is reportedly disputing about 30 other similar denials. My wife and I would appreciate your attention to this matter, much as I understand you have assisted with the VA Choice Program, of which I am now a member. And that was omitted from the letters to Murray and Cantwell. This was specifically something Larson did. This is causing a great deal of anxiety for my wife and I during a time of stress due to this event and a recent bout of pneumonia, which fortunately did not require air evacuation. If you need more information about our situation, please feel free to have someone contact us by phone or email. I don't think the insurance company understands the nature of our isolation here in the islands and is acting only in economic self-interest and penalizing the patients and family that have not deliberately chosen a particular course of action but merely acceded to the recommendations of health professionals. I would hope that Medicare will protect us in their regulations from such decisions, which might make sense if we were 40 land miles from advanced care, but many hours away when the ferries have to be relied upon. We hope that you can act to help us and many other islanders who find themselves in this situation. Sincerely, Charles McCarty and T.T. McCarty. As you can imagine, it has added a great deal to my stress as her primary caregiver. And you can multiply that by somewhere between 40 and 50 other families here in the island, San Juan Islands, who have been similarly denied coverage for what was deemed by medical professionals to be necessary and appropriate. And, you know, I've been in touch with Island Air. They are handling the appeals for my and many others, and I presume that the same sort of thing is going on with Airlift Northwest. This is a matter of great economic importance to them as well. If you look at the total amount of reimbursement, which is due them, and the difficulties if they are then required to bill individuals. And this, I feel, threatens not just the individuals, but the entire island community. Because if we are faced with the inability to rely on the certainty that the Medicare that we continue to pay for, even in retirement, and the supplemental insurance that we pay for, if we cannot rely upon that, that leaves us all in a very tenuous position. So I don't know whether you as an organization have any leverage here, but if I want you to be aware of what is going on, and not just from the abstract, from what you hear that there are a number of people, but from me, you know, it's a hard thing.
It's a hard thing.
We do not need this complication. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Chuck, I suggest that you take a copy of that and send it to Mike Kreidler, the insurance commissioner. There's a file being collected down there, and he is the one that deals with Kaiser Permanente on that level.
And where would I find that?
Mike Kreidler, he is the state insurance,
he's the insurance commissioner.
If I can look it up for you, it'll take me a couple of minutes after the meeting.
Well, I need to get that to my wife.
We'll get it to you.
Okay.
We'll get it.
And I've got a copy of this that I
if you could just put your email on there, I will get. I'll make sure we get.
Oh, okay.
It.
That would be good.
And Chuck, I don't know if you know this, but the Board of Health met this week to talk specifically about this, and the four of us were there listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they are. They're working on taking action for it, and it caused me to think that this board should craft a letter as well on behalf of our citizenry.
We're certainly part of the fray on ESA.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think just to Mike Kreidler for his awareness, and I understand Dr. Sullivan is working on this as well, but there are so many stories like this, and it is stress for people that are ill that they don't need.
This is very similar to the CID investigation.
It is. Yeah.
And it would have been nice if we would have had the support of the, mm-hmm. the surrounding boards on this for that. When Chris Martin was out here from Airlift, she indicated that they've only had one or two calls that were not covered, but they had inquiries from Kaiser on this, and that they were working out or the denials. But this is kind of a disservice that when we released Island Air from us, let them to do this by themselves. When we had run the air service, there was no out-of-pocket expenses incurred by the island residents. So this would not have happened if Island Air ambulance service was run through the EMS, like it was.
What about when it's a hospital, an ER doctor referral then?
Same thing. And when we went through our investigation, talking to the Medicaid investigators, we were told that we should have been challenging the emergency room doctor as far as where they needed to be transported to and how they should be getting there. There's been people calling us and a couple patients that could have gone off by ground ambulance. It was decided that they needed to go off by air, and that's one of the big ones that Kaiser is not accepting. So to Chuck, you're absolutely right. I mean, it happened with us with the Medicaid and what private ambulance insurance companies do is they follow Medicaid, Medicare, what's going on there. It's unfortunate that Kaiser is contacting you and not going to the provider on this. I'd like to offer it, if there's anything that we can do, we'd be more happy to help.
Well, Island Air is handling the appeal process, and that's what they have told me. So
Annalisa brought up an idea, suggested that we, this board, craft a letter to the insurance commissioner. I agree with that, but I think it should be done in concert with the other PhDs. Mm-hmm. I know the other PhDs are intimately involved through their superintendent in common, Anne Presson. Mm-hmm. So I think we ought to bounce this idea off of her and maybe a small group of us craft a letter, mm-hmm. and more importantly, to see if the other two PhDs concur with us and then send it as a collective effort. I think it could have a much broader and deeper impact as opposed to one PhD at its root.
Sure. I think that's a great idea.
Good.
Pam, would you reach out to Anne and see if she can work on that?
Yes. Yeah. Chuck.
Our Pam and Anne are close. I mean,
yes.
they're buddies, so.
Yeah, I will contact her tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, so I can send a copy of the letter.
Chuck, I just sent the information to both Pam and Nathan, the insurance commissioner's website and how to do that, and I'll ask them to forward it to you.
Okay, thank you.
But I just looked it up and sent it.
Very good.
Perfect. Any other members of the audience like to make a comment?
Yeah. In our family, we've researched this and been...
We're both straining to hear you.
Oh.
We want to hear you, but
that's why we're leading forward.
We researched this and understood through Kaiser and through others that if you were retired and you had Medicare, this would not affect you. This is the first incident that I have heard that that's
Medicare,
not true.
Right.
I think from my understanding that it is much more prevalent than you may think.
But do you have Kaiser Medigap or something? Is that how Kaiser's
involved?
She has a supplement.
Medical
supplement.
Advantage.
Okay.
Yeah, the Medical Advantage supplement to Medicare.
So that's
right.
One of their four forms. Mm-hmm. They have four different levels.
Yeah, I mean, all told, between what gets deducted from her
Social Security
and what she pays directly, for this coverage, she pays almost $4,000 a year, and I pay a similar amount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the good news is there are a lot of people in this county that are disturbed. I tell you, it's not just you and this island and Friday Harbor. It's all over. And a lot of people, as Annalisa mentioned, the Board of Health got involved for the second time a week ago today. and retain Mark Tompkins to sort of spearhead the effort to undo this. Dr. Sullivan is working very, very hard with two physician consultants for Kaiser Permanente. So there are a lot of prongs going in the direction of getting this fixed, but the pain and suffering, as you so shared with us tonight, is, you know, continues on, and it's not going to be any quick fix, unfortunately.
Well, my wife kind of predicted this. She used to be an investigator for the Department of Health in this state. And when Kaiser bought out Duke Health, she said, "Troubles ahead."
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a large out-of-state corporation that has only interest in making money.
Sharon, did you have a comment?
Well, I was just thinking, like, you know, you decided not to write a letter to the AG's office, but not to be too cynical, but it's in your lawyer's best interest if this drags out longer. So I just, for what it's worth, I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, as I mentioned earlier, and I think Jerry did too, that the fee on a monthly basis is the equivalent of, what, 15-minute phone call. So it's, yeah, it's money. I don't think that's Fredman's motivation. Hopefully not. Any other comments from the audience?
Chuck, would you, if you haven't signed in out there, would you sign in?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
And
I'd like to call for a 5-minute recess.
Email address there.
With the permission of the board.
Yes.
Yeah, for, you can imagine.